Hello there, and welcome. This is Rob Hunter. These MP3 downloads are released under a Creative Commons license. They're free. Copy the files as much as you want. Pass them around. If you like something you hear, tell your friends. And thanks for listening.
Scope Version. The woman at the far end of the kaleidoscope had not been there last week. Of this Simon was sure. She was naked, or near enough, thinly dressed in a diaphanous veil that left little to the imagination.
Holy shit!
Simon Alexander breathed on the lens and gave it a wipe with his sleeve. I see that I have your attention, said the woman. Finally. With a furtive glance to see if there was anyone watching, Simon took a closer look. You are carrying a beer and a bag of Cheetos, said the woman. She strode toward the kaleidoscope's eyepiece, shedding blue veils one by one. I'd like a beer, too. But you'll have to get me out of this thing first, I think.
You are the Virgin Mary, said Simon,
who watched TV shows on unexplained phenomena. Perhaps. I might also be a bird of ill omen, a carrion crow. Or a butterfly. Whatever. I am celebrated for my hijinks and practical jokes, howsomever. Appearances can be deceiving. Only last week I appeared covering the entire leeward face of a mountain in Brazil, she said. Thousands came to see the miracle. Many died, trampled in the rush. Compared to this, the incongruity of a grown man hiding out behind the garage with a kaleidoscope and a six-pack. The kaleidoscope was Simon's secret. After 43 years of marriage, his only secret. Its twisted barber pole spirals of colored metal foil pasted with stars and crescent moons reflected mylar purples that shone like the sunglasses of a state trooper. Simon kept the kaleidoscope hidden under the eaves at the back of the garage. He had been temporarily banished from the house while Bonnie spread quilt patterns over all available surfaces. Beer and Cheetos were forbidden inside the house. Is this contraption yours? Said the woman. She was surrounded by a pale blue aura. Good luck for you that I showed up in a portable apparatus. Then you are not the Virgin Mary? Cellophane crinkled as Simon reached into the bag, which he'd retrieved from under the front seat of the family sedan. Dinner was hours away. You were expecting someone else? No, I was expecting some colored glass beads. Simon wished that he'd bothered to shave that morning. It's a Boy Scout project from 60 years back. A Katahdin Council, Willapack, Maine. Simon shook the kaleidoscope. Troop 136. Easy with the shaking. These Boy Scouts you speak of, they are a cloistered order? Lay brothers? And you are eating in front of me. Sorry. Simon popped an orange-colored, salt-slathered, cheese-flavored Cheeto into his mouth. I was hungry. And thirsty, too, I'd warrant. I am the Princess Acacia Arunis. You shall be my chosen champion. Name, please? She jiggled. Simon. Simon? Simon Alexander, Princess Arunis, Princess Acacia Arunis, practice safeness, and I know all about you. I've watched you from the other end of the kaleidoscope. I call you Big Eye. Does my name not roll on the palate like a scented oil? Ah, it's a first-rate name, all right. The princess was naked and lovely, and that she might have a mellifluous name was not a paramount concern. I did think you were the Virgin Mary for a minute there. Hardly. But in one or two negligible planetary systems, I am revered as a goddess. The scope virgin struck a demure pose, eyes averted in modesty. Hence, I require champions who are trustworthy, reverent, and brave. These Boy Scouts you speak of, they are warrior monks with the single-minded devotion of a religious community? Well, a scout is cheerful, trustworthy, obedient, clean, brave, and reverent. I was an assistant scoutmaster 30 years running. I ran a tight ship. No booze, no dope. We encouraged abstinence before marriage. The kids were only 12 years old. As you are my chosen champion, I shall accept your assessment for the time being. And we shall have to get me back where I belong. And that is that. Simon took a deep breath and held it as blue veils rippled and slithered to the, well, floor. The apparition arched her back to better display her breasts. We'll have to get together and urinate sometime, she said. What? Said Simon. I am not yet fluent with your idiom, said the Princess Acacia. I spoke wrongly. I had hoped to be alluring. You may breathe now. Simon chug-a-lugged his remaining beer. Take it from me. You're definitely alluring. He adjusted the focus. And don't fidget. It is unbecoming. The Princess Acacia was beginning to fade. Simon gave the kaleidoscope a shake and banged it against the wall. Ouch! Said the Princess Acacia. Sorry, said Simon.
Are you by any chance from another dimension?
In addition to his television habit, Simon was an avid reader of science fiction. Alas, I was fleeing ravishment, or abduction, and did not watch where I was going. And now I am wedged in an oubliette at the bottom of my garden. I had slipped away to meditate. Prince Philo Galassi is hounding me for my maidenhead, and I must trust to the kindness of strangers. Oubliette? Prince? Prince Philo? Princess Acacia sighed. A hole in the ground at the other end of your kaleidoscope, and a not very nice person to answer your questions in the order presented. Pull me through. There's a lot of me, and I'm considered odoriferous by some species. You will want to do this out of doors, and I suggest a pair of rubber gloves. Overhead, a questing crow gave a squawk as it miscalculated its bearings and flew headlong into a power pole. As I said, a bird of ill omen, said Princess Acacia. Simon returned with a dust mask and the large yellow playtex gloves Bonnie kept under the kitchen sink. He'd stuffed the mask with a handkerchief soaked in aftershave lotion. Ready! Unscrew the eyepiece, reach in, and pull. Careful now. Incidentally, you smell terrible. It's aqua velva. Simon's arm extended into the tube farther than the kaleidoscope's lengthwise measurement would have led him to believe. Instead of the curvilinear woman he was expecting, Simon felt a large, viscous, throbbing mass between his fingers. Ah, I think I got you.
You have, but not there.
Here, I am ticklish, and that is a very personal place. And do not squeeze.
Just pull. Got it?
Said the Princess Acacia.
Pull!
Simon pulled. The reek of unfriendly compost assailed his nostrils. He was glad for the hanky. After much struggling, the scope virgin popped out. You are a giant slug. The lineaments of beauty are debatable, said the slug. I may have misrepresented myself, so as to be pleasing in your sight, big eye. The giant slug undulated, slurped, and sloshed. A small deception. What you see is what you get. She executed a haughty turn like a fashion mannequin at the end of a runway. Bonnie is absolutely not going to believe this. Simon cupped his hands and called, Bonnie, there's someone here I'd like you to meet. A well-kept 60-something woman came to the screen door.
Yes, darling.
She was all smiles. A heart-rending odor of muffins and pot roast with gravy followed close behind her.
Your wife is very understanding to let you out alone with the Princess of the Blood, said the scope virgin.
Is she a jealous type?
Don't go there, Simon whispered. Could you possibly come in the house with me and show her I'm not sliding into senile dementia?
I'm afraid I would leave a slime trail, said the slug.
Simon, always bringing things home.
Simon's wife searched warily, scanning the backyard for a probable source for her husband's enthusiasm.
Well, what have we today? Bonnie's eyes froze on the Princess Acacia.
Oh, a great big slug. How very interesting. And how very disgusting. Now we'll have to put out bait before we're overrun. Our lettuce will be ruined. Put a peach basket over it. Bonnie executed a quick swivel to stomp back into the house. At your age, too. Dinner is on hold.
As Simon pondered pot roast denied, the hand which held the kaleidoscope hung dejectedly at his side. A midge or a gnat buzzed from the tube. It performed a series of aerial acrobatics as if getting its bearings, then flew in ever smaller circles about his head. A beam of polarized light flashed between the insect and the tip of Simon Alexander's nose.
Ow!
Simon grabbed his nose and hopped about in agony. The insect then dived at the scope virgin. The bug was angry.
Big eye! Should he fire again? I am undone! Cried the Princess Acacia.
Simon, through his pain, paused to stare at the insect, hovering, prepared to strike, and the slug.
I beg your pardon?
Swat him! If he can't have me, he has sworn to kill me lest a more acceptable suitor find favor in my eyes.
Huh. How about that? Simon raised his arm and swung the kaleidoscope. There was a ding as of a BB hitting a can.
Gotcha.
Mylar mirrors and glass beads went flying. The kaleidoscope was demolished.
Shattered into pieces, my poor dear oubliette. Now I shall never, ever get back home again.
By the by, you have also just destroyed Prince Philo Galassi's battlecruiser.
Sorry. Thought it was a bug.
Prince Philo's ship was government property. The overtaxed underclasses will be grumpy. And you have wrecked my gateway in the process.
But where are my manners? Said the scope virgin.
You have saved my life.
Thank you.
Your suitor... But he, Prince Philo, was so small. How do you,
The females of my kind are considerably larger than the males. Are they smaller? Whatever. This is an economy of scale.
Simon checked the ground for kaleidoscope parts.
Even if you picked up everything you could find, there'd still be something missing, said Princess Acacia. This is a universal law. You'd have a bag of parts, is all. And even if you could get them all back together again, the refraction indices would be all wrong.
The Boy Scouts built it? We can fix it. It may take a while. It has been 60 years.
Meanwhile, I am here. And Prince Philo Galassi is nowhere. This has created an imbalance that will cascade through the fabric of space-time.
Simon!
Simon's wife opened the door a crack.
Yes, dear? You are talking to it. But...
The screen door snicked shut.
Very observant, your wife. We may safely ignore her, said the scope virgin offhandedly.
Simon turned to follow his wife into the house.
Stay.
Simon stayed.
Ever amplified, this space-time anomaly will pack all the destructive power of Prince Philo's demolished cruiser, plus the mass of a displaced princess of the House of Arunus, multiplied to the 27th power. We shall have some serious mischief.
The regal petulance disappeared from the princess's tone.
I don't mean to be any trouble. Thanks for my deliverance and all. But there is great peril ahead.
Thank you for filling me in, said Simon. Could we talk about this later? Bonnie has a pot roast going for tonight.
No. We shall have to manufacture so many kaleidoscopes that one of them will have the correct dimensional refraction. This will require volunteers.
They must be the same who made the original kaleidoscope.
We shall have to whistle up these Boy Scouts of yours.
But they'll be old, scattered.
You did it once. You can do it again.
Prince Philo's regent is not going to wait on your Bonnie's pot roast. There'll be a war of succession in addition to our space-time anomaly. Billions, billions of lives will be extirpated.
Shake a leg.
We'll have to get you covered up. Not everyone would understand. this peach basket of your wife's sounds appropriate. Come in the house. We'll have to use the kitchen phone. The linoleum? Ear slime trail? I hope I'm not hurting your feelings, but Bonnie's new carpet.
I am a princess of the blood. We are held to a higher degree of accountability.
Linoleum will be fine, said the Princess Acacia.
Harry Pease should be in. Simon was warming to the challenge. He can do a telephone tree and get Troop 136 out of retirement.
Careful on the welcome mat. AstroTurf? Cautioned Simon.
In the street, a car door slammed. An engine revved.
Bonnie had left a note pinned to a peach basket on the kitchen table.
I'll be at Alma's. Those damned Aloha shirts of yours were one thing. I will not be the laughingstock at the checkout line of the red and white again.
Call me when you come to your senses. The pot roast is turned off. Indefinitely. Wearing his Aloha shirt outside the house was a minor rebellion that Bonnie had never forgiven. By Simon's lights, most folks who bought them on vacation never summoned up the raw courage required to wear them in Willapack, Maine. Simon picked up the phone.
Harry and I used to be close. We went all the way to Eagle Scout side by side.
Harry picked up on the third ring just as the answering machine cut in.
I'm here! I'm here! I'm here, goddammit!
Simon! I know it's you. I got caller ID, said Harry.
Harry? Remember when you said I had space aliens living in my teapot? That was 1982. Besides, I meant it as a compliment to your powers of imagination. Have you been nursing a grudge all these years?
No. I got one. A space alien, not a grudge. Her name is Princess Acacia Arunis, and we need your help.
Simon related the morning's doings.
So, Bonnie's left you. If I was 20 years younger... Oh, what the hell. Come on over and bring the princess.
Harry hung up.
He says yes, said Simon.
Thank you, said the Princess Acacia. This will mean a reprieve for uncounted billions.
Now, how's about that beer?
Harry Pease rose painfully.
Doors open. Come on in.
He walked with two canes, his knees ravaged by arthritis, shattered by sports injuries, and, at the moment, between surgeries. Simon entered carrying the peach basket with the Princess Acacia inside. A cloud of flying insects swarmed in behind them and headed straight at Harry's head.
Holy shit! I thought it was too late in the season.
He reached for the spray can of bug killer he kept it ready near the door. The insect cloud dropped like a rock, all but for two. Spouting tiny streams of electric fire, they made for a spot right between Harry's eyes.
Yikes!
Harry dropped the bug spray and swung one cane in a roundhouse right. There was a tiny ding and a mid-air flash of the kind courting fireflies give.
What the hell was that all about?
You have just faced down a direct assault by the remnants of Prince Philo Galassi's fleet and prevailed. You must come from hearty stock, said the peach basket.
Well, it still stings, said Harry Pease, rubbing the bridge of his nose.
I don't recall your being a ventriloquist, Simon. All right, suppose you have got a space alien in your peach basket. Let me have a peek at her.
You asked for it. Simon lifted the peach basket. An oversized garden slug peered coyly up at Harry Pease.
She was a pin-up girl when I met her, said Simon.
Fleeing ravishment or abduction by an unrelenting suitor, said the princess.
You appear to have more legs than Simon.
Are you certain that this is not Barsoom? One time, when my kitten ran off, he returned chewing a very entertaining manuscript about your world. I have to know how it ends.
You have a copy. This was a statement, not a question.
That would be Edgar Rice Burroughs' Captain John Carter series, Simon said.
Carter of Mars?
I have it, but it's hard to get at it. Bonnie put all my paperbacks away in the attic.
As long as you have it,
that's enough.
I shall grant you an indulgence.
Simon breathed easier. Kitten? That the Princess Acacia would have a kitten level the playing field between them, the human and the quasi-divine.
I am trying to use terms with which you will be familiar. A lizard, actually, rather large and ill-tempered, with a fondness for fresh meat. He ate one of my tutors. I once asked that same tutor, why is the kaleidoscope, and was this particular kaleidoscope a threat? What were your late tutor's feelings on kaleidoscopes? Much as his feelings on elopement and the bridal consummation. He said I must squinch my eyes together and pray hard. Harry paled and sat down abruptly. I beg your pardon, Princess. You said an unrelenting suitor? Prince Philo, who?
Gulacy. Philo Gulacy.
I have not always been inside a peach basket, you know. I remember once I showed up in the airspace of a thermopane window, said Princess Acacia, like mist, in Bayonne, New Jersey. The faithful mobbed the house. I leaked. No mist, no miraculous apparition. You have shown sufficient deference. You'll do.
I'll do what?
Said Harry Peeves. Stop a civil war. Save the known universe. For this, we will require the assistance of the original Boy Scouts who built the kaleidoscope, said the Scope Virgin. Harry stared at the Princess Acacia.
You are a space alien.
Really? I may be an alien here, but at home, I am Queen Apparent.
Okay, said Harry Pease. Enough already. I'm a believer. Simon, I figured you only needed a drink with a buddy, but because of Bonnie and all. I didn't dream I'd be meeting a bona fide princess who lives in a peach basket and looks like live bait.
Simon, said Harry, how old are we?
72, so? So we'd better get cracking. There are only a couple of us left. Most of Troop 136 are dead or moved to Florida. I can probably scare up some warm bodies, though.
He peered at the Princess Acacia.
Pleased to make your acquaintance, Your Highness. What can the Boy Scouts of America do for you?
Recreate my oubliette, said the Princess Acacia, or your kaleidoscope. It depends on one's point of view, does it not? It is in all our own best interests. Though vast, infinity is a biography of finite numbers. Sooner or later, the displacement will arrive back where it started, and then kaboom, goodbye everything.
You want me to write this out for you, for any doubters?
You don't have hands, Simon observed.
You will write, I will dictate, said the princess. Some folks won't believe anything until they see it in print, said Harry.
This is it, announced Simon to Princess Acacia with the pride of a swashbuckler showing off his Caribbean redoubt. A solitary traffic light swung in the early evening dark, directing three cars at the intersection. The senior center, aside from the traffic light, the only light downtown, projected a ferny terracotta ambience. A vigorous 80-something woman with short-cropped gray hair bustled about inside, setting candles on empty cafe tables. The sign said, Open. At the far end of one line of fluorescent fixtures, a plastic pail hung from a leaking sprinkler valve near the ceiling. Beneath it, suffused with an orange Edward Hopper glow, Harry Pease played single-handed Scrabble. Simon and the princess waited. Motor running, Engel parked at the curb to see who'd show up. Over the next half hour, five gregarious, chatty old-timers straggled in. Now, said Simon, going around to open the passenger's side door, showtime. I hope Harry's prepped them to meet you. As Simon entered, carrying the Princess Acacia and her peach basket, the reunited scouts flashed in the three-fingered salute. Simon shook the peach basket.
You okay in there?
I will be when you stop shaking this damn thing.
There were now seven in all inside the senior center, Princess Acacia's recruits. Six men and a woman. A one-time den mother who departed to the kitchen to spread tuna salad on finger rolls. Simon carefully placed the princess on one of the cafe tables. A bell on a spring jingled at the front door to announce a late arrival.
Sorry about that. Don't trust the airlines.
Fleming Ward, called Flem in school, had driven all the way from Florida. His eyes fell on the discarded peach basket.
Hi, Simon. Fresh peaches? What's this?
He reached out to give the Princess Acacia a tentative poke.
How intimate. Quel sauvage, giggled the princess.
That's French, observed Harry. Reasonably perceptive, Harry Pease. Princess Acacia jiggled in a thoughtful reverie. A grotto, a little French girl. She taught me. French, that is. I taught her the rest. She was so sweet. A little French girl in a grotto. Fleming, known as Flem, crossed himself.
Saint Bernadette.
I appeared as a mist, said the princess. You might want to check yourself for stigmata, like nail holes in your palms. Flem Ward checked his palms. No. He blanched and gagged. The princess had left a slime trail on his hands.
How delightful!
The princess chortled and rocked. The table teetered. I have never, ever been to Lourdes. This was just one of my little jokes.
Yuck, said Flem.
He wiped himself off on his shirt front. Spouses and wondering adult children packed bag lunches, filled thermos bottles, and carpooled their loved ones to the kaleidoscope factory. The spouses and children were not invited in. The Princess Acacia held court perched atop a red leatherette bar stool as the senior center became a hive of activity. From as far afield as Boston and Toronto, bolts of reflective mylar film, shipping tubes, and cartons of plastic lenses arrived by FedEx.
How many is that so far, Harry? Asked the princess.
Over 1,000, Your Highness. 1,238, exactly.
Statistically sufficient. Pick one and take a peek.
Harry lifted a kaleidoscope from the nearest folding banquet table.
Wow! I mean, holy shit!
Naked and enticing, the scope virgin was back in the tube. Precisely. Yes, I am I not? Said Princess Acacia from her bar stool. Beautiful, in whichever aspect that is. Harry handed off the kaleidoscope to Simon. Simon took a look. First into the kaleidoscope, then at the princess.
But you're there. And here.
As I was when we first met, Simon Alexander. The naked lady in the tube gave her behind a wiggle. From the bar stool, the peach basket princess continued.
And you should find a telltale circle of charcoal around your eye. It'll wash off in a day or so. Another of my little jokes. A memento for when I am gone. If you'll all lend a hand, it is time to begin testing the apparatuses.
Flem Ward came from the kitchen, wiping his hands on a wad of paper towels.
Okay, I'll play. A big slug says it's a princess, and you guys buy it, all of it?
There was a shocked silence, followed by shuffling and distancing, but Flem stood his ground.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph, just what the hell do we get out of all this anyway?
That is rude, said the princess.
Your desires are neither here nor there. Simon handed over Princess Acacia's dictation. Flem, read this. She wrote it out for you. Flem approached the paper warily, like a cat stalking in high, dry grass. He studied it closely from all sides, turned it over, hoping to find enlightenment, or at least a coupon on the back.
Sounds like something I'd do drunk. Kaboom, huh? Total obliteration. And smack dab in the middle of the NBA playoffs, most likely.
He turned to the princess on her red leatherette bar stool.
But you still haven't answered my question. What do we get out of this?
Simon gets pot roast and gravy. I believe his wife has been holding dinner.
And the rest of us?
You deserve something nice. With little evidence that the fabric of space-time would be irreparably rent, and this only on my say-so, few would have had the courage to take up my cause.
So, what do we get?
Flem's tone was accusing, uncalled for in Simon's opinion.
You get a peek,
whenever your little hearts desire, said Princess Acacia. Time hangs heavy when one is trapped inside a kaleidoscope.
Once a scout, always a scout. I just wanted a little recognition, you know, like a merit badge. Let's get to it.
Everyone agree, said Flem.
Sorry I got here late.
Tardiness is a prerogative of royalty, but I shall view this as a compliment to my exalted status.
Apology accepted, said the princess.
A few hundred kaleidoscopes in, and they found it.
This is the one, said the scope virgin. How do you know?
Asked Harry.
QED. I'm not in it.
Yet.
We've done it? Save the known universe, then? Asked Simon.
I hope you found it to be a not strenuous undertaking.
But that's it? It's over.
It is. Now, help stuff me into this thing. Any volunteers?
To a man. Flim Ward included. Troop 136, Katahdin Council, Willapack, Maine, stepped forward. Passing the Princess Acacia back through the transdimensional rift was more like greased pig wrestling than assisting a distressed damsel aboard a passing palfrey. Finally, her dorsal hump slipped past the aperture.
Phew!
Said the princess.
Bye now.
Simon shook his kaleidoscope. Broken glass rattled.
She's gone.
He looked again. At the far end of the tube, a naked, glorious woman parted a curtain painted with fluffy Tiepolo clouds against a sky bluer than blue. She turned to wave. Harry Pease grabbed an armload of kaleidoscopes and peered through each in turn.
Hey, the naked lady is still in the tube. All the tubes.
He set the kaleidoscopes down and went to check in the mirror. They had left a series of large concentric black rings around his eye. Harry and Simon returned to their separate houses and their separate wives and hearths. Simon resolved never to tell Bonnie about this. A transdimensional refugee saved from an intolerable marriage would make a good enough story, he reasoned. Bonnie was an incurable romantic. But like wearing Aloha shirts outside the house and rubbernecking high school girls who'd begun looking good again after he turned 70, a naked woman in each and every of 1,238 Boy Scout kaleidoscopes was a thing best not spoken of. Happy for their private silences and carrying the empty peach basket, Harry and Simon drove home alone, together. Troop 136 would wear their black circles with the pride of a full sash of merit badges, and Simon would blame his increasingly slippery memory on the direct hit from Prince Philo Gulacy's neutron cannon. This is Rob Hunter. I hope you enjoyed Scope Virgin, first published in the Written Word Online magazine. Don't forget to click over to my site, www.onetinleg.com. Follow the free reads link for other audio forays into the fantastic. And thanks for listening.